You have your Bibles today. We're interested in the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis, chapter 41. I want to begin reading this morning in verse 45, and then we're going to skip down to verse 50, 51, and 52. Would you stand with me today as we honor the reading of God's word? Genesis 41, verse number 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. This morning, I feel like the Lord would have us to continue studying the influences in young Joseph's life. There are five women that I believe impacted his life and caused him to be a great leader. And I want to study another one this morning, his wife, Asenath. He's a Jew. She's a Gentile. Today we look at Asenath, the unlikely bride. And may I remind you today that it was unlikely for me to be saved. It was unlikely for me, a Gentile dog, to be saved by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he made me his choice. And he has extended divine favor unto me. It's unlikely, but I'm thankful today to be loved. Father, would you help us this morning as we try to preach the word of God? Lord, you've showed us and taught us many things in these last few weeks. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, I pray for that soul that needs to be saved today. Father, I pray today for these that need to be rededicated and recommitted in their walk with you. Help us today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray and ask, amen and amen. Some of these influences in young Joseph's life were people like Rebekah's nurse. That would be his grandmother's nurse. In the scripture, she is only listed just really one time. We call her the unlisted woman, and she had no choice. Rebekah was asked, will you go with this man? And Rebekah had a choice, yes or no. And when Rebekah said, yes, I'll go, they sent the nurse. She had no choice. And she taught Joseph how to triumph over trials. There'll be things that happen to you that you have no choice about. And can you still have victory and still worship God when you're in a severe trial and you have hardships in your life? There was the unlawful woman, Potiphar's wife, and how she tempted him. And it taught Joseph how to be faithful and to triumph over temptation. There's the unloved woman, Leah, which was a stepmother to him. She was hated, and she taught Joseph how to triumph over tears. When you're hated, when you're unliked, when people come against you, will you stay true to the cause of Christ? She caused him to triumph. Then there's the unlovely woman, Rachel, who taught him that he should look to the Lord rather than look to self. I'm talking to somebody today. You look to self to solve your problems. You'll pray about it and then go figure out how you're going to solve it yourself. Listen, it's not about you adjusting anything. It's about looking to the Lord and asking him to bless you. And today, here is Asenath. She is a young lady that is unlikely. Let's study about her today. Number one, I want you to see her forgotten past. Again in verse 45, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Now let's talk about her for a second. She's the daughter of the priest of On. Now he was a priest, and he led Egypt in the worship of the Sun, the sunshine, and their god Ra. And his daughter, her name Asenath means, it means belonging to Neith. Who is Neith? She's an Egyptian goddess, the mother of the Delta, considered to be the mother of creation, mother of many of the Egyptian gods and goddesses. Unbelievable how Egypt had the skill to build all those pyramids and yet the ignorance to worship cows, cats, crocodiles, and even the sunshine. Now, no doubt her father brought her up in idolatry. No doubt she was in sinful trespass every day. I don't know anything about her childhood, about her education, about her religion, about her desires, about her goals, but I'm sure she probably, being of the wealthy class, would have had the best of the best. This is the former things or the former times in her life. And she was chosen by the sovereign to wed young Joseph. And may I say to you that your background and your education, I don't know about your background, your childhood, your education, I just know this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us are wicked, heinous sinners in need of salvation. And when I think about this young lady, the Bible says that she was given to Joseph to wed. She was oblivious to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph. But I have news for you. God knew her. He knew very well her sinful condition. He knew very well her need of salvation. May I say that despite her lost condition, God was going to work it out where she might hear the gospel and be saved. I believe that Joseph shared with Asenath the glory of the God that he served and the power that God had to change lives and to forgive sins and to give salvation. And I believe she turned to the Lord. Preacher, why do you think that? Because nothing is really said about her past. Preacher, I don't get it. You should. Her sins are forgiven. Her sins are forgotten. Her past is in her past. And thank God this morning, my past is in my past. I don't go fishing in God's sea of forgetfulness. Asenath is a picture of you and me and the unlikely event that you and I as wicked sinners should be chosen in favor of God to be yoked up, to be married, to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her forgotten past. Number two, I think about her favored place. Here's a woman taken from the obscurity of sin and made to share the lofty position with her husband. And I'm not just talking about to be the governor, the prime minister. I'm talking about to be a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's study for just a second about Joseph. Now, when she got married to him, she is becoming his equal, and she is going to also sit with him on the right hand of majesty. So for just a moment, let's focus on her groom. Let's think about Joseph. Let's go back earlier in the chapter. You remember how that Joseph was the 11th child born to Jacob, and how Jacob gave him a beautiful coat that marked him as the favorite. And all the family, his brothers and sister, hated him, envied him. They didn't like his spectacular, splendid dress. They didn't want to hear his spectacular, splendid dreams. He said, I had a dream. All of y'all bowed down to me. Oh, they were already mad. But this really got them angry.
They stripped him of his splendid coat and threw him in a pit, and they sold him to be enslaved in the bondage of Egypt, where he was bought by Potiphar. And God favored him. The Lord was with him and raised him up to be overseer of the house of Potiphar. And we know that Potiphar's wife began to lust and long for him, began to tempt him. And he kept saying, no, 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 I'll not sin against God. I'll not do this. And she grabbed him by his coat and he ran. Thank God he fled from temptation. She still had that's the second coat he's been stripped of. And now she screams, people come in. She said, this man tried to force himself on me. They arrested him, threw him in the slammer. He's now in jail. He's imprisoned. He's done nothing wrong. And yet the Lord was with him and raised him up to be an encourager of other prisoners. And one day Pharaoh's butler and baker, who were in prison, had dreams. And God gave the interpretation to Joseph. And Joseph, just as he said, the things came true. And he said, when you're restored, sir, please remember me, Mr. Butler. I'm down here in the prison cell and I've done nothing wrong. And for 2 years, he was forgotten. How does it feel to be left out of the invitation to the party? How does it feel when you're forgotten by your family, forsaken by your friends? Joseph knows all about it. But after 2 years, God gives Pharaoh a dream. And nobody, his soothsayers, his magicians, his wise men, nobody can interpret the dream. And the butler said, oh, I remember, oh boy, down in the prison cell, they could interpret dreams. They took Joseph up from that prison cell, being cast in that prison, cleaned him up, caused him to stand before Pharaoh. He gave the interpretation thereof. And he said, there's going to be 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. And I want you to know that this is what you need to do, Pharaoh. Look with me in verse 39. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Think about it. In an instant, he went from being a prisoner to being the prime minister. In an instant, he went from being a slave in a prison to standing before all of Egypt in power. Look with me in verse 41. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. That's a symbolic ring. That ring is not a wedding ring. That ring is Pharaoh's signature. It had all the authority that Pharaoh had. And he says, Joseph, you will have all the authority in Egypt that I have. A symbolic ring. Look with me again in verse 42. And arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. He gave him a splendid robe. You remember the robe his father gave him? His brothers stripped him of it. You remember the robe he had in Potiphar's house? Potiphar's wife stripped him of it. And now he's given a new robe. He's got new garments, amen. And that garment means, I have the king's approval. Not just his authority, but I have his approval. Not only a symbolic ring and a splendid robe, but look again in verse 42 at his shining recognition. He put a gold chain around his neck. I wonder that day when they threw him in the prison or threw him in the pit and raised him up out of the pit and put him in the back of some wagon with prison bars on it and drug him off to Egypt, if they put a chain on him. I wonder when Potiphar's wife lied on him and threw him in prison if he wore a chain. He's wore the chains of prison oftentimes in his life. And now as he stands before Pharaoh, Pharaoh gives him a shining recognition. Pharaoh gives him a golden chain. Thank God that everybody ought to respect and everybody ought to revere. Look with me in verse 43. He's given a superior ride. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. I mean, they called for a royal procession. And in the first chariot was Pharaoh. Hey, Pharaoh. And in the second chariot was the prime minister, Joseph. Man, I'm telling you, all of Egypt, that would have hated. Listen, the Egyptians are Gentiles. Here's a Jew made their prime minister. And whether they like him or not, he's in power. And the Bible says that you have to give submissive reverence. He says they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. When he went by, whether you liked it or not, you had to bow the knee. The Bible says about Jesus that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. They will confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. And whether you like it or not, that is a truth that remains. The Supreme Court can't change it. The Democrats can't vote it out. The Republicans will never flip it over. Honey, it'll stand and stand forever that Jesus is King of Kings. The sovereign rule he gave him. He put him over all the land of Egypt. Look at verse 44 at the supreme responsibility he gave him. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Let me put you in today's terms. Nobody can make a move, Joseph, without your permission. Pretty powerful for a Jew boy that's a foreigner who's been enslaved and in prison most of the years of his life. And now, look at how God has blessed this young man. Now, he's given a bride. Number three, and I'll be done. No, I got another one after this. Number three. I want you to consider her faithful part. Let's read verse 45 again. Her faithful part. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. You know what that means in Egyptian? Savior of the world. Woo! That reminds me a lot of Jesus too. How about that? Jesus is Savior of the world. Now think about it. He specified his character. Here's the thing. Joseph has had years of hardship and suffering. And this is what I've noticed. There are people today, and maybe it's you, going through suffering and sorrow and hardship. And it's amazing how people will look to the Lord and serve God and pray when things are hard and difficult in their life. But the minute the sorrow is gone, and the suffering is removed, you don't see them anymore. They walk away from serving God. They get successful. Our nation has turned her back on serving God because she became materially successful. Power and advancement and success should not change your character. Do not forget God. Notice with me when his companion and spouse is given. She was not given during the suffering and the sorrow. She was given as part of his exaltation. She was given as part of his promotion. She was given after he got the ring and the robe and the gold chains and the superior ride. She was given as part of that exaltation. May I just remind you that you as a bride of Christ were given to Jesus after his suffering on the cross, after his death, burial, and resurrection. And she's sharing her position with her husband, Joseph. She is united with him, and together they sit in the highest seat of authority. My groom is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you and I as a church are right with him. Victory, triumph over trouble, triumph over hardship, triumph over distress. Now look with me in verse 45 again. The Bible says Joseph went out over all the land. Look at his commanding status. He has the king's authority. He has the robes of his approval. The Bible says in verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now let's think for a minute. When he came to Egypt, he was 17. He's been in bondage, affliction, hardship, opposition for 13 years. That's a significant number, the number 13. He's had rebellion against him this whole time, but now he's 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. So many pictures here of Joseph being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the coveted supply, verse 47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. What does that mean? God prospered the land. He said, I'm going to give you 7 years of plenty, and he gave him handfuls of purpose. I want to say to you this morning, God's been good to you. He has given to you just because he loves you, just because he wanted you to have grace, just because he wanted to extend mercy to you. God has blessed our land. God has blessed this church. God has blessed your family. God has blessed your individual life. He has supplied and supplied and supplied. And the Bible says in verse 48 that Joseph gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid up in the same. In other words, every year he put back a certain percentage. Preacher Darren says, oh, well, what they didn't consume, he put back into storehouses and treasuries in every city throughout Egypt. May I say this? Joseph has been faithful in the few things. He was faithful in the pit. He was faithful in Potiphar's house. He is faithful in the prison. Will he be faithful in the palace? Will he? If you've been faithful in few things, God will make you Lord over many things. Preacher, how much did he put back? Well, the Bible says in verse 34, read it, a fifth part. That's 20% that he put back every year for 7 years to get them through those lean times. The Bible says in verse 49, Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. God blessed them with over superabundance so that no man could even count it. God wants to bless you the same. God wants to encourage your heart. He wants you to look to him. You may say, oh no, I don't believe it. I'm in hardship. I'm in difficulty. Yes, so is Joseph. But because he was faithful, God gave him triumph over trouble. Look with me at his conceived sons, verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. Get that in your mind. These boys were born in the time of plenty. The time of plenty is a picture of the church age. Joseph being a type of Christ and Asenath being a type of the bride of Christ, the church. They were fruitful and faithful and bringing many sons to glory during the time of plenty, not during the tribulation of the famine of 7 years. Y'all got that? The church age is now. If you're going to get saved, you better get saved before it's too late. Jesus is coming back. The tribulation will kick in. The Antichrist will take over, and God will quit dealing with your soul, and you'll not get in then, though you want to. The Bible says in verse 50, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the firstborn Manasseh. For God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name Manasseh means forgetting. May I just stop to say this today? You know why Joseph blessed that young, or why God blessed that young Joseph so much? Because Joseph forgot about his troubles. He could have still been angry at his brothers for selling him. I'm talking to somebody today. You're mad at your brother. You're mad and hurt at your sister. And you're fuzzed up about it today. And the very fact I've even mentioned it You're wondering right now who texted him and let him know.
The Holy Ghost.
Just as much as God said, get up there and say victory, and she sang victory in that song time and time again. You hear me this morning? God knows your need today. You're going to have to get victory. You're going to have to let the past go. Who is the lady that you're upset with? Who is it's got you all bent out of shape? Who is it you're all fluffed up about today? Who is it? Is it your spouse? Is it your mother-in-law? Is it your father-in-law? Is it your daddy? Is it your mama? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Look at me, I'm up here. No reason to look around the room. Preacher, I don't want to talk about it. Until you put the past in the past, you're not going to move forward. Think about how Joseph had been wronged by his brothers. Think about how he had been wronged by Potiphar's wife. Think about how it would have tarnished his reputation. It's over for me. My testimony is destroyed. Oh, really? Look who's riding in the second chariot down the street, and everybody's knee has to bow. Don't you know? She had to bow the knee. Potiphar had to bow the knee as he went by. I'm just saying this morning, y'all, you've got to learn to get some things behind you. May I say this morning? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far the Lord has removed your transgressions away from you. They are forgotten by God. He doesn't remember them anymore. You've been forgiven, and your sins are forgotten. Thank God we ought to triumph over our troubles. I can't get off of it. Not only are you mad now, but you've got some wounds that are 1 month and 6 months and 3 and 5 years old. Scars, they call them. I've got some scars, 200 something stitches in my leg, and man, if you pick at that just a little bit, if I scratch it, that scar quickly gets cut into, it starts to bleed, it gets sore really quick. I'm talking to somebody today, you got some scars. God won't take away your scar tissue. Amen, Preacher Darren. God wants you to forget the scars and the wounds and the hurts of the past and let them go. I don't care how justified you feel like you are for being mad. I don't care how justified you feel. Jesus was wrongly treated and died in my place and forgave every one of us for what we've done. The Bible says in verse 52, he gave him a second son. The name of the second called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Those two names mean volumes. Manasseh means forgetting, and Ephraim means fruitful. And many of you today, you wonder why your marriage, why your job, why your walk with Christ is not fruitful. Will you hear me? You will never be fruitful until you learn first to forget and let the past be in the past. And when you get to forgetting and getting things behind you, God will make you fruitful. And you may say, oh, Preacher Darren, I'm already fruitful and I still got those things. Just think about how much more fruitful you would have been had you done it God's way. Amen. The Bible says in verse 53, this is important. Fourthly, and I'm done. I want you to think about her fulfilled promise. There's a time of famine that's going to follow. After the rapture of the church will be a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of trouble this world has never seen. The 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Rapture of the church. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. It was very severe. The Bible says in verse 31 that the famine was grievous in all the land of Egypt. All the people are coming to Joseph. But there's one person that didn't have to. Asenath. She's not having to go to Joseph and beg for corn. She's not having to buy corn. You know why? Because she and he are united. I don't know if you've thought about this, but in the 7 years of famine, Joseph never experienced the power of the famine to touch his life. Neither did his wife, Asenath. May I say to you that during the tribulation, the church is removed. We'll not be in the tribulation. We'll not be in the time of famine. You know where we're going to be? We're going to be with our groom. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. We have triumphed over our trouble. The only thing she has is joy. And the only thing she has is giving glory to her groom. So in closing, I want to say this. We have a saying here in the mountains, maybe bigger than the mountains, might be in the flatlands too, that the cream does what? Rises to the top. You cannot suppress character. You're frustrated today. You're discouraged this morning. You try to do the right thing. You're trying to walk with God, but you get no credit for it. You're telling the truth, other people are lying. You go into work early, other people come in late. You want a day off, but they won't give it to you. You want a day off to go on vacation with your family, they won't give it to you. But to give a coworker a day off to go gamble. And it makes you mad. I'm getting nowhere serving God. And I'm so frustrated. And I'm so bent out of shape about it. And I'm telling you, I'm talking to a daddy. I have a daddy or two here. Man, I'm telling you, you're trying to do the right thing by your wife and by your children and lead them in the way they should go. And it's so hard. And you're so discouraged. And you feel defeated. But stay faithful in these times now, because the cream is going to rise to the top. And God is going to give you triumph over the troubles that you're going through. Can you imagine? Let's just go ask Joseph. He's second in command, riding in that second chariot. Hey, Joseph, would you stop? Whoa, horsey. Joseph, this is CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, WLOST. We're all here asking you, how does it feel for you to be second in command of all the land of Egypt? Was it worth it? Worth what? All the suffering. What suffering? I mean, yo, you mean the prison cells and the lies and the things they told on me when I was so frustrated? I just looked to God, the best thing I ever did, because here I stand today. Had I not been faithful in a few things, I would not be standing here today over many things. And I'm trying to encourage you, Daddy. I'm trying to encourage you, Mama. You're going to get triumph over your trouble when you start forgetting your past, letting those things go, getting past your wounds, your scars, your hurts. You know what they said? They lied on you. They told a tale. They told a lie. They told a fib. It's got you bent out of shape. It's all over Facebook. It's on Snapchat. It's on Instagram. Oh, I'm so hurt that they talk about me. They did a closer. They talked about Joseph like a dog. Hey, Joseph, everybody has to bow the knee. Was it worth serving God, staying true? Look around. Joseph would say, it's the best thing that I ever did. God gave me triumph. He gave me victory. He calls me to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who I serve today. May I say this? I'm done. May you learn to forget something. Don't forget God. But forget your hurts, that God would make you fruitful and God would give you triumph and victory in your life. There's somebody today, you need to be saved. There's somebody today, you need to recommit your life. You've walked away. There's somebody today, you just need to be encouraged. There's somebody that say, Lord, I'm in a prison. Lord, I'm being lied about. Lord, I've been thrown in a pit by my own family. God, would you help me? Honey, he knows all about it. How unlikely is it that a po-dump, toe-headed boy like me could be saved, could be serving God, that God would allow me the opportunity to worship his son, that he would give his life for me? How unlikely am I? You may feel like we're just one little family. We are feeble, we are weak, and we are inept. We are so unlikely. The king chose you. It wasn't Joe Biden that chose you. Thank God. It wasn't Donald Trump that chose you. Praise God. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How unlikely was I to feel the love of God and to be saved? He chose you. And I don't care what you're going through today. You have the favor and the choice of the Almighty. And if God be for you, who can be against you? God wants you to have victory. And somebody today, you need to receive it. You stand to your feet. Brother Seth, if you'd come to the piano, play some hymn of invitation. I'm asking somebody, you're so discouraged, you're frustrated. I'm talking to somebody today, you're not frustrated or discouraged, you're bent out of shape. Preacher, what am I going to do? Why don't you come to the altar and say, God, help me, Lord, to get past my past. Lord, it's trying to get victory in my life. Lord, help me to be fruitful in my walk with you. Help me to be fruitful in my family. Help me to be fruitful on my job. Help me to be fruitful in my... I'm telling you, you need to move this morning. You need to move this morning. All y'all's got your head bowed. Look up here at me. I'm talking to somebody this morning. This is you. You're clinging to your hurts. You're holding on to them. Maybe nobody will notice when I go into church and I've got a burden. Maybe nobody will know what I'm going through. And you're carrying more than this pew weighs this morning. It's time to let it down. It's time to let it go. And it's time to receive what God has for your life. Your head's bowed. Why don't you come right now? God knows who you are. He chose you. His favor's on you. And he knows how you're hurting today. Would you come this morning? Father, I praise you and I honor you. Thank you, God, for your choice. Lord, how unlikely am I? I praise you. Lord, I think about some wounds, some hurts, some scars, some things that still come up that hurt. And Lord, I pick at it. Oh, God, help me, Lord, to be like Joseph and let the past and the hurts go. God, there's somebody today clinging to hurts. They feel justified in doing so. God, I pray you'd show them the best thing they'll ever do is let it go. Old Job could have been hurt by his wife or by his friends and by those who came against him, and yet he prayed for them and you gave him double in return. Lord, I ask you for victory and triumph over trouble today. Help these, I pray, to lead their families. Help these today to get victory in their personal life. And for this, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen and amen.